Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantisau for another day of broadcast insolence. I don't know. I'm having trouble getting started today.
Just because of the weather? Or what we're currently experiencing and maybe what Tom Skilling also said, including the F word?
Yeah, he said the F word.
At least you're not in Florida. Well, there you go. Got to put things in perspective. Thanks, Judy.
Yeah, but last night was depressing because it was like, it's not going to be this warm at night for like 5 or 6 months.
It's depressing right now because it looks like it's 9 o'clock at night outside.
That's true, too. And we should get used to this because in a couple of weeks, this is the way it's going to be on a sunny day at 3:15. It's going to be like this light out. So it's going to be what it is. I know.
We had a good run.
Yeah, we had a good run. It was a great summer.
It was.
I mean, we really did.
It was so nice.
It did.
I mean, it's the middle of October.
Right.
And to get 80s. I mean, it was, I'll be honest with you, it was too hot yesterday.
What?
It was, oh, yeah. It was too hot.
Yesterday was a gimme. I just love those days.
Give him a slap.
I'm going to. Can we get something here?
Ow.
Thank you.
Yesterday felt like one more bonus summer day, especially at night. It was so nice out last night.
I cooked out last night.
Yeah, I was outside.
Were you on the deck?
Yeah.
You don't invite anybody to anymore?
I had some folks over, I know it wasn't you, but it was other people.
How long has it been, team, since we've been over to the deck?
Too long.
It wasn't
three months?
Was an idea. It was just a last-second idea.
Yeah. We're on the whim.
We work together till 7 o'clock. How last second can it be?
It was more like 7:02. It was like a last second like that.
When you're walking out the door.
That was kind of what it was. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. I got a call. Actually, the people invited themselves over.
Okay.
And that's
now
where I'm
know.
Like, all right, fine.
We can do that, too.
Yeah, we're good at that.
That's for sure.
We'll just keep
showing up.
You.
That is for sure. Anyway, so it was a beautiful day.
Yes, it was.
Yesterday. And now today, it's rainy. And then the bottom falls out where there's going to be frost on my pumpkin. Make sure you cover your rabbits. That's a very important thing to do in your rabbit hutches, for those of you who are growing those. And I suppose you
pick the tomatoes.
I'm just sad because I looked out at my balcony with the flowers that I've successfully kept alive and thriving all summer that they're just about to go, you know? It's like they're done.
They
were so happy yesterday.
Yo,
they are. I'm so surprised. This year, it was actually easy. We got rain nice, intermittently throughout the summer, and they just thrived. But now it's all done.
So I believe that what we have here is the end of a very happy story. I think we just have to look at it like that. And I think the more we dwell... And when I say we, I mean me, dwell on the idea that the weather is turning and it's going to get to be what it is. But this is a good, it's football season. The holidays are
chilly season
coming up.
Indoor cooking season.
How many times have you seen Christmas commercials on TV
it's
already?
Starting.
Mm-hmm. Right? So, I mean, we kind of get into that thing. Yeah, start making chili. We start thinking about Thanksgiving, and I'm already battening down the hatches for that. I got thoughts.
The comforters.
What's weird is because it was 80 degrees yesterday, I haven't thought about Halloween decorations, and it feels like they're not really out yet. People have sort of delayed that whole thing. It's
Halloween decorations?
What's the 10th?
Oh, you mean
it's
the people?
21 days.
Well, they're busy putting their Christmas decorations up.
My decorations are out.
They are?
My neighborhood has turned into like an international Halloween scene now.
International?
Yes.
What's international about Halloween?
It's the, I don't know, but it is in my neighborhood. There was a magazine article I read in Chicago Magazine about my neighborhood. And it's now the place to go trick-or-treating.
Well,
for
they
people,
heard about Violetta.
Which I do not want to have people going to my neighborhood to trick-or-treat.
Like, do you guys give out, like, fabulous candy or what?
There's apparently two blocks near me that now it's, this is, these
they
are all people who are outdoing each other.
Yes, okay.
Literally, there was a scaffold up at one of the houses, and then there was a cherry picker at the other house yesterday as I was driving. They literally closed part of a real live Chicago, major Chicago city street so that these battling billionaires, I'm assuming, can, because these are big, beautiful old brownstone homes in the Gold Coast, they are like, they're putting all this stuff up. And this one guy's had like a gigantic spider. Like
I know which one you're talking about.
20-by-20-foot spider.
Is it on the corner?
On his house, for the last couple of years. Well, the guy next to him was like, hey, screw you. You have a spider. Look at this.
Watch me work.
I'm building Dracula's castle.
Uh-oh.
That's crazy. It's just out of,
so do you feel pressure now to
No, no, no,
oh,
no.
We're coming to decorate your place
No, no,
now.
No.
Yeah, we'll do that for you.
No, I don't even like the fact that Judy has decorated the green room.
Very PPG, well, I might add.
Pittsburgh Paints green room, by the way. I don't like...
What's your problem with decorations?
On the Carnival Wagon, Jeff, our producer, put like a string of lights, mm-hmm. those pumpkin lights mm-hmm. on it. I'm like, take that off.
Hi. Are you against Halloween?
Why are you such a curmudgeon about Halloween?
I don't like it.
Is it for the kids, though?
No,
it is.
No. Really? Where are the kids here? You know, how many kids do we have here? And you don't count these two because they're a combined age of 60.
You'd be surprised how many kids are here.
All right.
Kids love Halloween.
Yeah, come on.
They do. It's a fun holiday.
All right.
We're having a Halloween party, too, mm-hmm. by the way.
Where?
Here? Your house?
Yes, here.
Is this like a secret?
It's called the To Spite Row Party.
I noticed
Bring a dish to
I notice I have not been invited.
Neither have I. Right?
I can't go anywhere. I'm busy that day.
Yeah.
Whatever day it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, busy.
It's a ways off. Don't busy. Worry. And everyone has to dress up.
I love Halloween. I love Halloween. I don't like dressing up.
Yeah. I'm just dismayed by the fact that my neighborhood now is going to be trampled on October
31st. Well, your
31st.
Neighbors ruined it for you. That's what I think.
They did. What day of the week is that this year?
Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday. Ugh.
No, it's a Wednesday. It's
a
week from today.
Wednesday. Yeah.
That's right, because Thursday is...
We have a show event on Thursday.
It's Judy's birthday.
Yeah.
Woo, woo.
Yeah, we have
And you wonder why I love Halloween. Mm-hmm.
The Day of the Dead, yeah. All right, stand by. Let's find out.
I'm concerned about that, but you should be.
For Judy. Judy's got the WGN news at the bottom of the hour. What's coming up in the newsroom, Judy?
Well, Cook County has a balanced budget because it is an election year.
Okay. All right, Violetta.
Then there's this. Be sure to check out the CB app. Hit up Facebook. Tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 p.m. on WGN-TV. Your pick just might be Chicago's Best.
All right, Joe Donlin joins us right now from WGN-TV News. And
The real Joe Donlin.
Joe, as we like to call him around here, Joe.
No big deal.
Big deal, Donlin.
Oh, you're too kind. Yeah. Ro, you're too kind.
Yeah, that's right.
So Ben does this normally every day, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of work.
It's hard to believe, I know.
I know. Well, they just threw me in front of this camera and said, here, talk about Obamacare. And, sure. Okay. This is what Ben does. This is normally when I'm getting my massage and then I have the manicure at...
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Manicures later today?
Yeah, okay. That's why Kevin and I are big fans.
That's right.
Huge fan.
Yeah. You should hear him talk about you, Joe, when you're not here. Oh, my gosh.
Ben doesn't get this sort of introduction, Joe.
No.
That's for sure.
No. I really consider Ben to be a big deal. I know Ben does, but we consider you to be a big deal. All right. So, well, let's talk about that, because the Obamacare, the whole thing is changing here
mm-hmm.
on November 1st, right?
Right. Well, that's the deadline, right? And we're going to get a lot of changes over the course of this next year, and it'll be interesting to see what happens because several of the most popular plans are going to have slightly lower rates. And then after this year is when the other big change kicks in, which is you will no longer be penalized if you don't have the insurance. And then as a result as well, there will be other options for people.
Then the prices will go way up at that point.
Right. Well, we'll see. I guess that's the point. That's certainly the argument because that's, as we know, what happens and how insurance ends up working because the people who basically are the healthiest are the ones who pay for the ones who lead to the most claims, in other words, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens with that. And also, I guess next year you'll be able to buy from other exchanges, which could also be very competitive price-wise. Those other exchanges will be less.
And they've changed what the parameters are for some of the insurance. So you will be able to buy, as they call in the industry, crap insurance, which doesn't cover much.
I think a lot of us feel like that's already out there.
Yeah, but the stuff that's really, you know, that you don't get the kind of... It's catastrophic care
mm-hmm.
Insurance.
Right.
Which is
kind of rolled out through Obamacare.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a significant change to what it originally was. And this is where, I guess, the rubber will meet the road between the opponents of Obamacare and those who think what we're doing now is a better idea. We'll see. It's led to lower rates now, but we'll see what happens when all of these changes go into effect afterwards.
All right.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Got that going for us. It's an election year, so they get to say, hey, we got lower rates. Look at this. Look at this. We got lower rates. And by the way, if the Democrats win next year, the rates are going to go way up, especially if they win the House. And then next thing you know, they win the House. They go, see, I told you. This is going to happen.
It's interesting because you look at the polls, but Democrats and Republicans score relatively about the same when people are asked who's doing a better job with the economy or who has a better plan for the economy. But on health care, it seems that Democrats seem to be favored in terms of their by polls alone. So we'll see if the, like you said, if this actually pays off or not.
Also in the news here in Chicago, and we're going to play some of this coming up in a few minutes, this tape of the police officers being spat at, and then guy getting hit, one of the police officers getting hit over the head by a 2x4, and then they chase the guys into a house, and they're being held in a house.
The officers were. So do you see the 2x4 in any of that video, Ro? Because I haven't seen that part.
No, you don't see it. Okay. It's part of the explanation of what happened there.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, this could have gone sideways in a hurry when you have officers who are in a house and unable to get out. Now, I talked with the lawyer for one of the people arrested last night. And, of course, he had a different take on what actually happened there. And he said that these folks who were in this area had been harassed by these officers over the course of several weeks. And this was nothing new for them to be harassed by these officers, according to the attorney. And then whatever happened that happened, he said, led to his client sitting on his porch and doing nothing more. And then the next thing he knew, the officers were in this house, he says, without a search warrant. So we'll be hearing more certainly about what happened before and after the officers ended up in that house.
What did he say about the officers being locked inside? Because the report I got or heard about was that other officers had to break into this house in order to get those officers out of there. It didn't seem as if they were freely walking around the home just hanging out.
Yeah, he didn't get into any of that, and I'm not sure. He just felt like, you know, what we've been hearing from the police was not exactly what happened or a fair or accurate account of how this all went down. So we'll certainly be hearing more about that over the course. They're in court again today, I believe, aren't they?
Yeah, we'll be playing that in the top five.
Two of them were held on $10,000 bond, and the others were held without bonds.
So. Right. Then there's a question about, you know, how does this all play into what's going on in this particular environment and post Jason Van Dyke trial and all that.
So. Well, I'm sure there are a lot of officers around who are hearing from residents everything from thank you. To
go blank yourself.
Exactly.
I'm sure that's happening.
Right. Yeah. And I'm sure they're hearing a little bit of all of that after the verdict. Yeah.
Exactly. All right, Joe, thank you very much. Appreciate it. We'll see you tonight on the 4, 5, 6, 9, 10, 12.
Hey, quick note, Apple Watches.
Yeah, I just got
calling,
one.
Right, they're calling 911 inadvertently when they're not supposed to. One of our reporters actually was doing tricep pushdowns and accidentally called 911.
Oh, no.
I think I'm okay because I can't even figure out how to make any calls on mine yet.
I know.
All right. All that thank you. All that's fit to print. Coming up, starting at 4 o'clock on Channel 9 right now, Judy Pollack's got the WGN Radio News being brought to you by, don't tell me, I'll tell you, HearingHealthCenter.com. Ro Concho with Anna DeVlantes right here on 720 WGN. Don't forget, coming up after 4:40. At 4:40, chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Blackhawks against the Blues on Saturday, October 13th, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. By the way, Saturday, October 13th is Saturday.
No way. Mid-October.
Just a little something to think about.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. And it's all brought to you by Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com and listen for your chance to win tickets all regular season long. This starts our Four Seasons ticket giveaway every Wednesday at 4:40. It's gonna be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Oh boy, that St. Louis was. I don't know. I was just talking to a friend of mine today about the Blackhawks and about how he's a season ticket holder. He's very excited about this season, and because no matter what, it's going to be wacky. I think that's the decision that we've all made here about the Blackhawks. They have a potential to play really, really, really well. They just got to make sure that they, at the end of the day, score more goals than the other team.
It's always key in hockey.
Sounds like a simple thing, but it may not be as simple as it sounds. Are they talking about maybe next week Corey Crawford coming back?
Yeah, Thursday is the hope. And Q said that again today, 18th at home against Arizona is the hope, which would be huge.
Oh.
He hasn't played since December 21st, for almost a full year.
Gosh, think about that. And then the rookie defenseman, how do we say his name?
Henry Yoki Haryu.
Yoki Haryu.
High hopes for him, right?
Yep.
I have to say that when they announced him,
Yoki Haru,
on Sunday night, you know, first home game in front of the home crowd, and they did that thing where it's you know, the opening of the season, you introduce everybody, mm-hmm. right? All the coaches. They had Corey Crawford introduced, even though he was in civilian clothes.
Sure.
And everybody went nutty, nutty, kadutty for him. And then they started with the guys who were not the starters and then the starters. And when they got to Henry Yoki Haru, I mean, the crowd was just like, "Wah!"
He's off to a good start. He's getting high praise. Q normally doesn't give high praise to rookies or younger players, but he's said nothing but good things about him so far. He missed practice today, but he's expected to miss make the trip tomorrow to Minnesota.
Brinksy, the Brinkat is what they call him, Brinksy. All right, Tom is standing by here. I almost forgot about Tom because he comes out at 4 o'clock, and I realized
don't keep Tom waiting.
3:40. I can't believe I didn't turn Tom on here.
Tom
Skilling is with us, brought to us by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Tom, in just a few minutes, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk to an ABC News reporter who's on the ground in Panama City.
Oh, wow.
So can you stay with us for that, too?
Yeah.
To be able to do that and ask a few questions? Because let's just get some actual fact out here.
Sure.
Because there's been a lot of
it's a moving target.
Outrageous claims that are being made about this storm. But it came ashore as a Category 4, 2 miles an hour short of being a Category 5 in terms of wind speed.
Yeah, actually 1 mile per hour. It had peak wind gusts of 155, 156 would have kicked it over to Cat 5. This is the most intense hurricane ever to landfall in the United States in October. Nothing's close. In fact, in terms of it's only the second Category 4 hurricane to landfall in Florida in October. And across the whole spectrum, the whole universe of landfalls of hurricanes any time of the year, it's the third most intense hurricane on a record based on pressure. And that's going back to 1851. So that's 167 years of hurricane records. And it's the second most intense storm based on wind speed. The most intense was the Labor Day hurricane of 1935.
Through the Keys, right?
Through the Keys, 36. Yeah. And that storm had 160 mile per hour sustained winds. This had 150. So this thing, think about this. You know, what we've seen in the last year. We've had the wettest hurricane ever to occur, 60 inches of rain on Houston. We've had the wettest hurricane ever to occur in the Carolinas. We have four states now. We have the wettest hurricane ever to hit Hawaii. Has occurred in the last year. And then in terms of this storm, this is the strongest late-season storm. It comes off an ocean that's running about 1 to 2 degrees warmer than typical. And, you know, and what I'm surprised at is people say, gee, this came out of nowhere. No, it didn't. This thing was on the radar scope on Saturday. The National Hurricane Center was very concerned about it and made it absolutely clear in all their advisories.
Right.
And the track on this has been absolutely spot on through that whole period.
It has been moving fairly quickly. Little bit of the difference here is people are like, well, this just came out of nowhere. I think in part
it's so fast
because it is moving so quickly. When we saw this hurricane that hit North Carolina a couple of weeks ago,
yes,
it was slow moving. So
very slow.
It took a number of days.
3 miles per hour versus 15 today. And that's been a trend in tropical cyclones around the world. They've been slowing down in many cases, which not only do they have more water in them because of a warmer environment in which they're forming, but they're slowing down, so their heavy rains are lingering over the area. Now, this thing is a late season storm, so there's a jet stream it will latch onto, and it will lose its tropical characteristics and then re-strengthen as a non-tropical storm off the coast of the mid-Atlantic and then race out into the ocean, the shipping lanes. But this thing,
it reestablishes a hurricane then?
No.
When it goes out over the water?
No. It will become what's called a baroclinic system. That's a system with cold air on one side and warm air on the other. But it will intensify. So it'll be a non-tropical storm. The difference is academic, really, in terms of as a sensible weather that it produces. But the difference here is, you know, a warm core storm like a hurricane has no cold air on either side. It's warm uniformly across it. And when it goes north at this time of the year, there's cool air pouring out of Canada. So it'll start to, and a jet stream develops between the warm and cool air. So this thing will, that's why it's moving so fast. It'll start launching a ride on the seasonally stronger upper
winds. That's good news that it's moving fast, though, because in terms of dropping water, the faster it moves, the rain totals will be
absolutely
lower.
On the other hand, the downside of that is a fast-moving storm produces stronger winds more deeply into the inland areas. So, in other words, this storm going up through Georgia and the Carolinas
can take some trees out.
Yeah,
buildings.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're also saying, Tom, to be aware, look out for tornadoes that this storm could spark in that area.
Absolutely. Well, the level of instability in these storms is such that tornadic thunderstorms spin up. I remember Ted Fujita would talk about, he would survey the aftermath of a hurricane much as he did in the aftermath of tornadoes. With his crew out of the University of Chicago here for many years. He's now deceased. But he would call them mini swirls, and these were actually little embedded tornadoes. Now, something else interesting, the satellite imagery today is so precise that they found rotating within the eye wall of this storm of Michael five what they call mesovortices. And these are little circulations rotating around in the eye wall that have locally stronger winds. So
it's like
much,
a food processor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Or a multiple vortex tornado, where you've got a big funnel within which little ones are rotating. And the little ones, you know, we used to think the reason one area got damaged in a storm severely and another one didn't was because the thing skipped along. But we know now that many cases it's the product of embedded smaller vortices within the larger vortex. Well, this is happening on an even larger scale with this storm. And we can see that now on these high-resolution satellite images.
If you really want to hear a scientific analysis of this, you should get the podcast of my appearance on the Steve Cochran Show today, I was excited when they said, hey, what's coming up? I said, well, we're going to take you into the eye of this hurricane because the circle in the middle looks really like a circle, and it's got other circles inside of it, and that's very bad. And that's as best as I could describe it based on what I had read this morning about these multi-vortices.
Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing, as you watched it come ashore today, you did see the circle you're talking about stay so fully formed as it made landfall.
Amazing.
And it was shocking to see. I think what you pointed out yesterday to us, Tom, is that this area is one of the lesser populated areas, and that potentially was a saving grace with this type of magnitude.
Absolutely.
Storm.
It's the only saving grace. By the way, the highest, you're absolutely right, Anna, because if this had come ashore, say, in the Gold Coast or the Tampa St. Pete area, you would have had a real catastrophe in terms of the vast population that was affected. You know, that was the same thing with Hurricane Andrew back in 1992. We went down there a year after that storm to do a post-storm analysis to look at how the area had recovered, and a lot of it hadn't. But Bob Sheets, who was director of the Hurricane Center, made the point that that storm went into just south of Miami, into the Homestead area. Had it gone north into the Gold Coast, Fort Lauderdale, Pompano Beach, West Palm Beach, it would have been probably close to a 60 or $70 billion hurricane instead of a 27 billion.
Right. Adios, Mar-a-Lago. Yeah. Hold on one second. We're going to go down to Panama City, Florida, which was brushed by the eye wall here in just a moment. But let's take this quick time out, and then we'll come back and do that on the other side with ABC News, Pete Combs. But first, let's find out from Judy what's happening at the top of the hour.
Well, as you've been hearing, it's shaping up to be one of the strongest storms to ever hit Florida.
Tune into the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow morning, 6:40. Chuck Todd will join Steve and break down the list of candidates most likely to replace Nikki Haley.
I'm still going for Ivanka. I don't know about the rest of you people. I kind of like the idea.
She says no.
And if she can't do it, maybe Malia Obama. I think that's another opportunity
reach
there.
Reach across the aisle.
Or Sasha. Either one. I don't know. What do you think? Sasha's not out of school yet, though. I don't think it really matters. Tom Skilling is joining us. We were going to be talking to Pete Combs from ABC News, who's in Panama City, and we keep losing him. Literally, we are losing him because
surprised.
They can't get their signal out.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit just about...
You want to hear some of the wind gusts here?
Yeah.
There was a Florida State University sensor just near Tyndall Air Force Base that registered 130 miles per hour, and then the instrument blew away. Tyndall Air Force Base itself has been hit with 119 mile per hour gusts. Panama City Airport had a 129 mile per hour gust. Panama City downtown, 94 miles per hour. Fort St. Joe, Florida, 106. And Mexico Beach, which is the near the point of landfall, had a 104 mile per hour gust. Gusts up in Tallahassee so far have been over 70. Let's see, St. George Island, 66. Even Donaldsville, Georgia has had a 67 mile per hour wind. So these winds are getting inland.
Tom, did you say
far.
Until the instrument blew away?
Yeah. Yeah, it blew away at 130 miles per hour, and that's off. And, you know, we won't get it. We've lost landlines down there now, so data's not coming in. A lot of these reports end up coming in by ham radio to the Hurricane Center, and then they pass them along. But they'll kind of trickle in here now. You know, what's typical of these storms, they're so... This is the equivalent of an EF3 tornado going over that area, which is... You know,
and staying on the ground the whole time.
Yeah,
and over a wide swath of area.
We put a clock on the Washington, Illinois tornado a couple Novembers ago.
Mm-hmm.
That did its damage in 16 seconds time. These storms last hours. So it's like parking an EF3 tornado over a vast area, relatively compared to a tornado's coverage, and doing so for hours on end. So, you know, imagine the devastation that occurs. I mean, this just obliterates everything in its path. And then you have a storm surge. The highest gauge reading I've seen, it was over 8 feet. It was off the scale in Apalachicola. The thinking was that the water levels would go up 13 to 14 feet, not far from Apalachicola, and then all the way over to Tyndall Air Force Base. And that
Tyndall is a very major installation for the Air Force. It is the home of the 1st Air Force. It's got fighter jets. It's got a very large fighter jet air wing there.
Interesting.
It also is on what they call HERCON 1, which is like DEFCON 1, Defense yeah. Condition 1. This is mm-hmm. Hurricane Condition 1, which is the ultimate condition, which
wow.
means that all non-mission essential military, that's, you know, to defend the United States from southern invasion, and there's not a whole lot of them there for that. Everyone else had to go. Everyone else was evacuated from that Air Force base, and it's a big one. You see, all over the country, they have planes from on Air Force planes. They have the base that they're on
sure.
on the tail,
mm-hmm. sure.
and you see, you know, wherever you are, if you're an air show or whatever, there's always a Tyndall. I don't know why what they're doing there. So there's that. It's huge, a huge operation for the Air Force.
Wow.
And they've evacuated the whole thing.
It's amazing. And you and I have talked before, and Anna, all of us mm-hmm. have talked, about how the naval bases send the ships out to sea. I worked in Jacksonville a year, and I remember if there was even the slightest hint of a hurricane nearby, and none hit while I was there, but they'd send all the ships out to
right.
sea.
Right.
And they'd ride it out there. I flew, at that time, I was down there in 1975, I flew with the Navy into one of the hurricanes. They were among the people doing the recon flights. Now it's NOAA and the Air Force, and I've flown subsequent to that with a number of the U.S. Air Force Reserve flights out of Keesler Air Force Base. And it's interesting, the Navy went into these storms at 500 feet, which is stunning. And you look down at the sea state below you, and when you hit minimal hurricane force winds, the whole ocean surface went white with green streaks through it where the waves were shipped, cut off. And 90 miles per hour is just total white. You drown in the spray.
Think about this. All right, and obviously our prayers are with those people down there right now. Tom, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thanks for hanging with us.
Good to talk to you. You bet. See you, Anna.
See you, Tom.
All right, there he is, Tom Skilling. And it's going to be colder this week. That's all we need to know. It's getting colder right now. That's the bottom line here. All right, coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, Susie Sunshine makes her triumphant return to this program. The Dow dropped 831 points today, and we'll find out exactly what's going on there. Stay right here. Oh, she's always wondered what had happened to Susie Sunshine, Susan Schmidt, who we used to say was from this company in Dallas. And now we can say that this is the reason she has disappeared and now returned, is that she is now, listen to this, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors, which has a Chicago office. That's an international company, Aviva Investors, one of the largest in the world. And she runs the Chicago office. Congratulations to you.
Thank God for us. And nice that you're home, too, Susan, because I know you're from this area.
Yes, it's great to be back. And despite the weather today, Chicago has greeted me with gorgeous weather the last couple weeks. I've transitioned back, and it's really fun to be back in my hometown.
And we've missed you.
Yep.
So. There's been a lot of panic on this side.
Oh, my God.
I was going to say, I'm sure Ro has had a rough day today.
A couple days like, where's Susan? We need to get her on the phone.
Yeah. But, I'm a little freaked out that the Dow
today
took a pooper, down 831 points. And now they say that the tech stocks led the way here because of the troubles with China. Is that true?
Well, that is true. So the tech stocks are more represented in the NASDAQ index. And when you look at the NASDAQ today, that was down about 4%. The Dow and the S&P were both down about 3%, and as was the Russell, which are the small cap stocks. So we saw the tech stocks have been under pressure. We saw that again today. That continues. And part of the reason for that is we've had some big companies in that space come out and talk about a slowing of orders and a change of pace. And so there's a lot of concern about what's going on in China, how their economy is doing, because remember, trade wars impact both sides. And so what the potential meaning is for the Chinese economy, in addition to how it's going to impact costs on our side in the U.S. economy. So all of that compounded, we're 2 days away from earnings really starting and kicking in. And so the market is waiting for that to start happening. We're in a little bit of a news void. And we've got a few comments coming out from management teams talking about trade war, increased costs from labor and raw materials, higher interest rates, expensive transportation, and that is getting everybody a little bit nervous because increased costs mean lower profits.
So this, the impact of the tariffs can be felt as early as the third quarter.
Most definitely. And we're starting to see that
which just ended
through
a couple days ago.
Exactly. So the third quarter ended September 30th, and companies are going to start reporting earnings as they relate to that quarter in the coming week. And this Friday is a big day because earnings usually lead off with some of the larger companies, and the big banks are up front in the announcement period. So this Friday, we're going to hear from Citigroup, Wells Fargo. We're going to hear from PNC, First Republic. So some big names, and those banks are good indicators of what's going on in the underlying economy, because how many people are taking out loans, how do businesses feel, and that's all a good track for the market to keep track of and watch to see if there's confidence there, because that really is a direct implication of how confident are these CEOs and small businessmen in saying, I want to expand my business and either add positions or expand my company and add a new division. It all reflects that.
It seems like if you hear from traders today, some of them are saying that something like this was overdue or some corrections like this can be healthy. I mean, you think about how long this bull market has lasted. I guess one of the things I'm always interested in are the trends here. You're seeing, like Ro was pointing out, that the tech stocks were suffering a little today. And, you know, the Facebook, Apple, Netflix, Google, those are seeing some losses today, and that there may be a retreat into more of the value stocks from the growth stocks. Is that what you're seeing, Susan?
Well, I would say think about it in terms of risk on and risk off. So today was a risk off day. And a risk off means you're moving to industries that are more stable and steady eddies. Whereas if you're risk on, you're really feeling good about the new economy and new technology, things like Facebook, Google, Apple. So today we saw the leading sectors, and they were still negative, they just weren't down as much as the others, were things like utilities and consumer staples and real estate and healthcare. So things that have a much steadier demand flow. The ones that were hurt the worst were things like technology, consumer discretionary, and, you know, our communication, so things like Amazon. And so those are all much more variable in terms of the demand patterns, and those are considered to be risk-on or riskier stocks. So today is a day where we saw a gravitation towards the risk-off. And remember, we have been in a really good environment for the market for a very long time. This is one of the extended recovery periods, and it's been extended, I think, because interest rates have been so low for so long. So everybody's tendency is to keep looking over their shoulder and say, are we at the end yet? Are we there? Is this it? Because if it is, they want to run to the exits and not get trapped.
All right. So to that point, on a scale of one to screaming really loudly.
How fast should we run?
How scared?
Have you already been screaming really loudly?
How scared should I be? On a scale of 1 to 10.
Should
Ro
put
10?
The thunder shirt on?
Yes. And should I get in the hamper?
That's a good look for you. I think you don't have to worry about that yet. One of the problems here is we're getting some data, which will be good for us. So we're going to hear about the CPI, Consumer Price Index number, tomorrow, and that's going to be an indicator of inflation. And inflation is one of the things that we look at to see if interest rates need to go higher or not. If it's getting out of control, then the Federal Reserve is more likely to increase interest rates. I don't think that we're going to see that. The other thing that we're going to see on Friday is consumer confidence. And the market has done very well as long as consumer confidence has stayed strong. So we have seen very positive consumer confidence numbers throughout this recovery period. And I think we're going to get both of those. And then companies are going to come out and give us tangible data. So we're going to hear about how they're doing, what's going on. I think that will help translate the emotional side of today into more realistic, let's act based on the facts. What have
She's
we got?
She's taking a pass. She just took a pass on the answer. Hold on. I want to throw
well,
the...
You're always going to panic. Today is not a time to panic. Remember, the market goes up and the market goes down.
We haven't seen a lot of volatility lately.
Right, and so when it goes down, people like you tend to get a little more nervous.
Why should we believe in consumer confidence numbers, given the fact that public polling and public sentiment can be, as we're seeing now, can range anywhere from slightly inaccurate to grossly inaccurate to being basically shifted by technology here. How much weight is placed on consumer confidence polling numbers?
Well, I think consumer confidence polling numbers are still important and still relevant. But you're right. We have seen a shift in how things are measured and what people are reporting. And are they reporting truthfully? Is the gathering of data as accurate as it once was? And so with consumer confidence, it's one more indicator. And we see the same thing where we look at employment numbers and we look at, you know, jobs data. We get inconsistent data every so often where the numbers don't match up. But overall, the trend line has stayed consistent. And I think that that is really what we're going back to is the trend line consistent? The other thing when you're looking to confidence of the consumer is, are they spending? And what are they spending on? And so far, we've seen pretty good spending patterns in the consumer. So people, when they're feeling good about the economy, tend to say, all right, you know what, I'll go out to lunch, I'll buy this extra sweater, I'll do something, and they spend their money. When they're really nervous, they put it in their pocket and they save it. We're still seeing healthy spending patterns. So you look for corroborating data as well.
Susan, can I ask you quickly about a local stock of nostalgic interest and maybe more than that? Sears preparing to file for bankruptcy. It looks like the company might be out of lifelines now. Obviously, we all grew up with Sears. Many of us grew up with Sears and the catalog. I know we've discussed that, but it seems as if that company, I don't know, is it finally on its last legs?
I had Craftsman jeans growing up. I don't know about you. Yeah,
the Craftsman jeans.
Well, and remember, I thought they had one of the best ad campaigns ever. Come see the softer side of Sears, right? Remember that Sears offered more than just the auto store that your dad might have visited, but also stuff for the home.
They're actually tough skin jeans, but I like to think of them as Craftsman because it was like, I was always confused by the brands there.
Remember that material was so hard.
Yes, it was like wearing
it
a brick.
Never broke in.
Yes, wearing brick pants.
It was in a tool chest, so. Yeah. So Sears, it is, we did see a report on that in the Wall Street Journal. I don't think anything's been confirmed on that yet. Sears has had a really rough time. of it, as have had a lot of retailers, because we've seen this shift in how people shop, what they're looking for, what they want. And those retailers that don't have a specialty niche, that tried to be everything to everybody, those are the ones that are really getting caught in the middle, because there's no reason for people to keep trafficking back to them. There are other options. And so, unfortunately, Sears has had a prolonged period of distress now, and just the business hasn't been that robust for them. So keep your eyes on the paper. I expect to see more headlines about that going forward, and it's quite possible that they decide to do some financial rerouting here, and bankruptcy is an option for them.
Yeah. It was depressing when I was a kid, and my parents would take me to Sears to buy clothes.
Why?
And because all my friends were going like to the Gap or to the County Seat.
And you were still shopping at
Sears. Right, and I was still shopping at Sears. And you could get, like at the Gap, you get a County Seat, you got Levi's. Uh-huh. And the Gap, you got, I think they also had Levi's at that point, Lee and Levi's. Uh-huh. And all those were the...
Before they had the Gap brand.
Yeah. And then, you know, you'd go to Sears, and they didn't have that. They literally just had the tough skin jeans, and then you went to school, and you couldn't move your legs in them because they
were
like,
couldn't play sports.
I mean, I was like Forrest Gump, right? Run, Forrest, run! You know, and as I was trying to like move in the pants, and I had to break through them, and it was just, and it was like, what's wrong with you, Ro? And I was like, I'm wearing Craftsman jeans.
Plus, everyone knew the label on your jeans for whatever reason.
Yeah, that was really a big thing. And then they would, and the shirts were always kind of, it was like you go to the Gap and they were like cool shirts, and then you'd go to you'd go to Sears and it was like it looked like the first scenes of The Wizard of Oz. Where the farmers are walking around in black and white, and they're all wearing like those farm shirts, you know. And it's like, and I had the jeans that didn't work. It was humiliating.
So
goodbye, Sears. As far as clothing, everything else was great. I wanted to go buy a refrigerator. I went to Sears.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Remember, Anna, you mentioned it, the Sears catalog. It is a great piece of nostalgia. People literally used to buy homes out of a catalog.
Yeah, right. We don't do it anymore.
So you have those things, and it is a lot of nostalgia. Obviously, very pertinent here to Chicago. But one of the examples of the distress and the changing shopping habits of the consumer right now, and just distress in retail. It's a tough world out there, and you really need to be a good merchandiser and marketer to survive.
It's time to move on.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes, you're right. It's time to move on from the softer side of Sears. But again, I don't want to lose the tools or the Kenmore brand was a very good brand, right? It was a solid brand for stuff.
I remember vacuum cleaners we used to get there.
Well, and remember, there's still parts of this business that can survive. We're not saying that Sears is completely defunct yet, but it clearly from the business model needs to change. They do have, maybe you don't want to wear tough skin again, Ro, but they probably have other brands that somebody wants, and they do have, you know, brands that are identifiable and that the consumer still gravitates to.
They might as well just call it barbed wire jeans. They might as well have called it that. Or
they
like,
kind of did. They called them tough skins.
Right, with extra chafing capability. I mean, it's like, what are you doing? All right, Susie Sunshine, Susan Schmidt, now the head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors here in Chicago. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Susan.
Thanks, guys. Nice to be back.
Let's check in with Judy and find out what's happening there.
Michael is ravaging the panhandle, and hundreds of thousands of people did not heed warnings to leave.
This November 6th, you have the power to influence the course of politics. Follow the most comprehensive local political news online, chicagotribune.com/midterms.
Trick or treat!
What is that?
Meat! Goodbye, girl, Judy Pilak at the Goodwill Store and Donation Center in New Lenox, Sunday from noon to 2. It's a Halloween bash, and she takes Halloween very seriously, people.
I don't think I like the way you said that.
Trick or treat!
Be careful. Be very, very careful.
We'll have food from Bartolini's.
Pizza, cupcakes, prizes, free.
One lucky customer will get a spooky Halloween masterpiece that Judy has created. And let me tell you something. If Judy created it, it is one spooky Halloween masterpiece.
Do you know how spooky
it is?
You
better like it.
It's in my garage, and I keep my garage locked now because I'm a little freaked out about it.
Yeah. I want to just say that that you bet right. You better like it. When Judy bestows it upon you, you better go, oh,
that's the best thing
that's
ever.
That's the best, spookiest Halloween thing I have ever seen.
I want to see shaking hands when they take it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm scared, Judy. I don't want to take this from you.
It'll be a fabulous time. It always is. I'll be dressed up as well.
You mean differently than you are now?
Yes.
Which broom are you riding in on?
the speedy one.
Not the one you ride in here on
it
every
is,
day,
it
right?
It is a new
different
Lenox,
one?
After all.
Okay. Yeah, by the way, it's located at 441 East Lincoln Highway in New Lenox. See you this... I have two different dates here.
It's this Saturday, Sunday.
This Sunday, October 14th.
Noon
to 2. All right. Okay. Very good.
And again, free prices everywhere.
Judy has the news brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. Bro Collins Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Let's talk about some local stuff that's going on. And that's why we brought in Mike Flannery. He is the political editor of all political editors. You see him on the Fox 32 here in Chicago. And you also, he's the host of My Pants Are on Fire. Oh, my God, call 911. What is the name of your show again?
Flannery Fired Up.
That's
we're going to have the man at the center this Friday night at 10. We're going to have the man at the center of the most closely watched congressional contest in the Midwest, Peter Roskam.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming in. And the Democrat running for Attorney General, Kwame Raoul.
Oh, Kwame Raoul. He's against that Erica Herold. That's going to be interesting. I've been told by Republican insiders, because they still talk to me.
Mm-hmm. The outsiders don't. The insiders
right, the outsiders who are now the insiders. Ah, that's a confusing thing. That's a much tighter race than they had expected.
I think Raoul would concede that, yeah.
Yeah,
Erica
Herold is the Republican.
She's the former, she was 2002 Miss Illinois, 2003 Miss America, who went to Harvard Law School, has been a partner in a law firm in Urbana-Champaign, her hometown.
And she is a staunch conservative, social conservative.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because social conservatism isn't really discussed so much anymore, except around Supreme Court time. And because social conservatives have a little bit of a problem trying to explain Donald Trump, but they love him. But they love it. So it's going to be very interesting. Now, let's talk about the Peter Roskam race, because that's one of the bellwether races in America for whether the Democrats are going to take back the House, and if they do, how deeply they will go. And Peter Roskam has been a beloved congressman for more than a decade in the western, northwestern suburbs, right?
Well, but, you know, certainly by a majority of the voters out there over the last decade. You know, now the question is, you know, just how beloved. Obviously,
right.
that's, there are polls that his Democratic opponent, Sean Casten, points to that give Casten a lead. I mean, it's a close contest. And one of the things about Roskam is he's been a workhorse. He was chairman of the taxation subcommittee of Ways and Means that originated the Republican tax cut bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now he's moved over to chair the health subcommittee.
Oh, boy. Well, that's a tough place to be right. We'll get to that in just one second. Hold on. Right now, caller number 19 for our captain. Captain Sirius, who actually is playing like Jonathan Taves. Caller number 19 at 312-981-7200 rips us off for a pair of tickets to go see the Blackhawks against the Blues on Saturday, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com and listen for your chance to win tickets all regular season long. All right. That was a slapshot moment in the middle of talking about local politics, giving away hockey tickets. All right. Back to this. Now, Peter Roskam, as you said, I mean, he's been a workhorse. He's been, highly placed congressman. He's one of those guys who looks like a congressman when you know, he wears a suit and he's got the little glasses and you go, that he's like out of central casting, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he's been very, in the years that I have interviewed him, he's very thoughtful about things. He's not a fire and brimstone guy. He's not, he uses his words judiciously. He's
kind of an old school. It wouldn't work in his district.
He's an old school Republican.
Yeah.
And and now he's under. He seems like the kind of guy. He's. I don't want to compare him with Jeff Flake because I don't think they're the same. But those kinds of Republicans are, you know, the reason that you know, suburban white collar workers trust the Republican Party, and especially in Chicago. Now, you know, the Republican Party's kind of a little different. You watch the rallies and you hear some of the rhetoric and you see the people jumping up and down in back of Trump. And you're like, then you don't necessarily connect with them in the same way that you would with a Roskam. Could he get flushed out even though he's not one of those guys?
Yeah. Now, you know, Sean Kasten, his Democratic challenger, would probably object to about half of what you just said. He tries to portray him as very much in the Trump school. And, you know, that tax plan that a lot of Republicans thought would be more popular than it's turning out to be.
Oh, it's because people figured it out.
Well, I mean, you know, Kasten says 83% of the money went to corporations in the top 1% or the top earners and, you know, relatively small amounts have ended up in the weekly paychecks.
It's useless in Illinois because you're getting killed on the state and local tax change in the new.
You're talking about
bill.
The cap, the $10,000 cap on the
right.
deductions
especially in,
related
to especially
homes.
In Roskam's district, that's going to be very effective.
Well, he argues. Well, you're right. But he argues that the stimulus that it's given to the economy is putting money in the pockets of the workers out there in DuPage County, out in the 6th District, and it extends into a couple other counties, and that it's been and that it's just been fantastic. Kasten seems to have voters who don't see fantastic payoff.
He certainly owns it as the architect of the tax reform legislation. But you wonder,
and he hasn't backed off a bit because he's now moved over after the tax plan was done. He's moved over to chair the health subcommittee in Ways and Means that's tackling the rewrite of Obamacare,
which is a little dangerous too. And I've noticed that Peter Roskam isn't quite as visible in interviews as he has been in, you know, just in general. He's been out there talking to people. And
you're going to see him Friday night on Flannery Fired Up at 10 p.m.
Well, then I got a couple questions for him. Have you ever write them down? Can you read them?
Can you
read them?
Because
I would like to know.
He may be listening.
Okay, well, I'd like him to answer this question. We'd love to have him. I think we've
this would be like Hillary Clinton giving the questions in advance.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm doing. But I would like to know, in terms of the healthcare thing, because this is kind of a big deal, that there. The rewrite of what healthcare is going to look like, they are going to start offering what used to be considered substandard insurance. They're going to, the crap insurance, I think is the technical term for it, which which get high deductibles. Very, you know, that's there's a question about pre-existing conditions that Republicans say, oh no, they're covered, but is it mandated? No, but we'll cover them. Don't worry about it. Who wouldn't cover them, right? I'll tell you who wouldn't cover them. The insurance underwriters wouldn't cover them if they could get away with it, and then. The question of can you stay in your own medical group, and what medical group do you have to go to if you have to buy insurance that's going to have a really low premium? Go, this is great. It's covering a bunch of stuff, but you have to go to Peoria to see a doctor.
I suspect Congressman Roskam won't say you'll get to keep your same doctor.
Yeah, right. But I mean, those are real issues, and the president's getting another little bit of a nudge win here. In today, as they're announcing that the premiums are going to be going down for this year for most of the product that you're going to buy.
And he's taking credit for it, which is really not accurate.
What are the most salient issues, though, in his district, would you say? Is it the economy? Is it the tax reform plan? Are people reading that well in his district?
You know what?
Is it healthcare?
Yes, all of that. But, you know, the number one, both he and the Democratic challenger, Sean Kasten, Congressman Roskam, will tell you, it's Trump. Are you for him or are you against him?
Right.
That's the number one thing. You know, people come up to these guys and they, you know, it's the same way it is all around the Midwest. It's the president. You like him? If you like him, you probably love him. And if you don't like him,
you hate him.
You probably hate him.
There's nobody who goes, he's okay. I've never heard anybody ever say that. Yeah, no, I kind of like him. Or, yeah, no, you hear people go, oh, I like his policies, but, or you hear people go, I hate him completely. But you never, you never hear, and then the people go, I love him. He's the greatest thing ever happened.
Yeah. And so here is the problem that Roskam faces as a longtime incumbent out there in the West Suburbs in the 6th Congressional District. You know, Mitt Romney carried that district, but prior to that, Barack Obama carried it against John McCain. And the last time against Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton carried it by 7 or 8 percentage points. So it's a district that tends not to like the president. It's one of those hashtag Me Too female voters, previously women Republican voters, looking for a Democrat this time as a check and balance on the president.
On average, by congressional districts, higher average for income, property value, how much higher property value?
Roskam estimates about $135,000 is the median household income.
Right. So that's, and that's well above the median for the nation, well above the median for Illinois,
which is in the low 50s.
Yeah.
So it's 2.5 times higher than.
I mean, it's a well heeled, and it's, you know, it's got Barrington in it, and some of those beautiful suburbs and horse country and all those things, and I think that Illinois Republicans, you know, despite the fact that the Illinois Republican Party has a little populist strain to it and a talk radio strain to it now that it didn't always have. You know, the Jim Edgar wing, you know, still trying to fight to stay alive here. But the Cook County Collar and some DuPage County Republicans, not exactly the, you know, on the Trump line.
Well, and
it's a different one.
And of course, it's two states. I mean, Illinois really is at least two states. The Chicago area and everything else, the other 96 counties. But I was talking to a guy been raising money for the Illinois House Republicans. The minority leader Jim Durkin is a buddy of his. He was saying that in the last 10 days, they've seen an uptick downstate. For Republicans,
sure.
in House races. The Kavanaugh contest,
yeah.
this big fight over Brett Kavanaugh, has mobilized
and
conservative Republicans downstate, and they think they might be able to flip some seats downstate.
That will also mobilize people in the Roskam District 2 and 6. I think that's gonna move some people, too.
Yeah.
So we'll see. All right.
What about the governor's race?
Can you do that on the other side? Can you stick around for a moment?
Okay.
All right, thank you. Mike Flannery is with us. You know him, you love him from Fox 32, and he's Flannery Fired Up, and that's Friday night at 10 p.m. You running again on Sunday morning?
At 8:30.
8:30.
Rebroadcast
at 8:30. I wanted that before Lou Kanellis starts screaming at me at 9.
I love watching Lou.
With a tie where the knot is 4 times the size of his neck. And he's, all right, I got a thought for you.
He projects. I love that.
He does.
It wakes you up and gets you excited about football.
I couldn't be more excited about the Bears. And,
I know,
because I love Lou Kanellis. I love Mike Flannery and Lou Kanellis almost equally.
Really?
Yes, I do. I love them both. I've known them forever.
It's harder to get Bears tickets now.
Yeah, it is. All right, hold on 1 second. I don't want to get away from my own thoughts. And it's really hard for me to get away from my own thoughts. Everybody else wants to get away from their thoughts. All right, hold on. Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
A new poll puts Pritzker way ahead of Rauner.
Oh, boy. Well, Mike will tell us about
that. That's what I was just going to ask about.
Violetta?
Steve Cochran show tomorrow morning, 8:10. Dean Richards joins. He'll try to help Mary Vandeveld understand Cardi B and other entertainment news.
I think he needs to explain Cardi B to Cardi B is what I think he needs to explain.
To
hey,
all of us.
Coming up, the news that fits and that matters, really. Judy Pilak in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio in about 5 minutes. All right, Mike Flannery is joining us right now from Fox 32. He's the host of Flannery Fired Up. He's the political editor of Fox 32 here in Chicago. But Flannery Fired Up, Friday night, 10 p.m., you're going to have Peter Roskam on. You're going to have Kwame Raoul on. And let's talk about what's happening now in the governor's race. You just heard Judy tease the fact that it's going to be maybe a China-throwing night over at the Rauner household.
Well, yeah, Governor Rauner's coming in next week, actually. He's going to be the guest on the show. We're going to give him the whole show. He's... He is in danger of losing by an historic margin. There's rarely been the kinds of consistent double digit, you know, or even 20 points plus gap for an incumbent. I mean, I, you know, it's I It's hard to recall anything like it.
Does that explain the fireworks you're seeing in the debates? Because you see this sort of getting, it was already sort of dirty, but it's getting uglier, and it feels like they're really taking shots at each other. Is that what Rauner needs to do in order to move those poll numbers?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's necessarily, I'm not sure I'd say ugly. I mean, it was lively and contentious.
You know what he did, though?
They interrupt each other.
They did, but you know what he did, though? He went with that the illegal immigrants are the problem in Chicago crime, which is provably false. It's laughable. It may work downstate for people who are not familiar with what's actually going on here, and they're getting all of their information about crime from Fox News, Fox News Channel. Nationally, that may be that they'll buy that, but it's not in any way, shape, or form true. The problem in Chicago is not illegal immigrant gangs or MS-13 or any of that. You can ask anybody in the Chicago Police.
The political problem for the governor is he has to consolidate his base. He's got a Republican state senator named Sam McCann running as the gubernatorial candidate of the Conservative Party, hammering him every day downstate. McCann lives south of Springfield, and he needs to consolidate. You know, I mean, so instead of moving to the center, which you would normally see at this time, he still has to try to consolidate Republican voters. It's a big challenge. It's a huge challenge. And, you know, he's also, I think in a sense, he's liberated in terms of his agenda. He went for a couple of years really not talking much about the right to work proposals, other labor laws, which he thinks we need to change in order to get jobs and companies to come in. He says there's billions of dollars, tens of thousands of jobs that would come in instantly. He's talking about that again.
Flannery fired up. You can see it. You can feel it. You can feel the heat from your television screen. Friday night, 10 o'clock. Watch it then. And then Sunday morning, 8:30, you can watch again right before Luke Kennelly heats you up for the Bears game. Thank you very much, Mike,
for being here.
Appreciate it. Judy Pylock standing by. She's got WGN News coming your way in two. Con Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, with no further ado, because we got a lot to get to here.
It's the top five on the Rokon Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Number five.
All right, now Chicago police say that four people have been charged after there were three officers injured in an alleged attack in Englewood yesterday. Police said that a three-officer tactical unit was on patrol at 70th and Troop when, according to police, a 20-year-old called them murderers and shouted profanities at them. Then, according to a police report, when officers stopped, this woman spit on one of them, and the officers got out of their car to take her into custody. Then, police said someone later identified by authorities as a 19-year-old threw a 2x4 that struck one of the officers in the back of the head. That 19-year-old then ran into a nearby residence. Cops followed him inside to take him into custody. But once inside, police say there was a struggle with that man and another 28-year-old man in the house that was all part of the scene. And after officers went into the house, this got recorded and posted to social media by one of the other people in the house.
73 troop in the house!
Hey, man, y'all better chill the out. Hey, close that door. Lock that door.
Yeah, it's leaking.
Hey, y'all ain't got no warrant, folks.
They sure don't got no warrant.
Hey, y'all ain't got no warrant.
Step the
I ain't need you. Hey, I ain't need you. I want you to let that bitch blow. I want you to let that bitch blow.
Yeah,
let it blow. Do it. Let it blow. Do it. Let that bitch blow. Let that bitch blow. Blow that bitch. Shoot that bitch. Don't you scared?
Hold on.
Unbelievable.
That is police work right there that you're listening to. This is what guys run into quite often in tough neighborhoods in Chicago.
And you had the officers outside that were having to break into the house to help their fellow officers get out of that home after they had been attacked. I mean, it's unbelievable.
So what you hear that guy saying is he's trying to exhort the officer to use his gun, like just to try to... I guess tease him into using his gun, or you know, and this is, and officers are trying to show restraint, and they're in the house, and they're actually there's you hear other officers coming in because the door had been closed and locked, and officers had to break the door in to get in to get to the scene where these three officers were inside the house already and being taunted and not cooperated with by the people in the house, and because the officers were trying to arrest a guy for hitting an officer over the head with a 2x4. Now, what you also have going on there is one of the residents of the house videotaping this and then putting it on social media, which does not actually do the residents of the house any good here. This is other than to say that this is, you know, you didn't have a warrant, but they were following in on exigent circumstances. They don't need a warrant in that situation. But then you have the police coming in. Now, three have been charged in this. And here is Kevin Grant from the Fraternal Order of Police commenting.
But we also need our prosecutors to seek felony charges and make sure that they stay in jail so they're not out on the street. Because if they're going to assault police officers, they're going to assault the public. It is happening because there is a disrespect for the law.
There is a sense of lawlessness when you attack police officers in that manner. Fourth person charged, by the way, just this afternoon in that case.
All right. Checking in at
number four.
During a signing ceremony at the White House today, the president was asked if he believes it's appropriate to go to a campaign rally right now with Hurricane Michael making landfall. He's going to be speaking at in Erie, Pennsylvania tonight. And, well, here's his reaction.
Well, I hear they have thousands of people lined up, and so we are in a little bit of a quagmire. I don't want to disappoint people. They've gotten there. Some people were staying. They got there last night. I believe it starts at about 7 o'clock, going to Pennsylvania. So we'll probably go, because what are you going to do? Tell thousands of people that have been waiting there all night that we're not coming. That's not fair either. So it's a very... But we have it's a very difficult situation, actually. We have our people ready.
Okay. I can't think the optics of that are a little, especially if he gets on the stage and starts saying goofy things, which I...
Has he been known to do that?
I'm just saying it's a possibility. Yeah, starts
you've
calling people
just
out.
In case.
Right, and then all of a sudden the death toll numbers start to pop on the news while he's there doing that.
Yeah.
Which is exactly when it's going to happen. And I guess it's an optics thing. This is the one thing about Donald Trump, is that he doesn't play by any of those rules where optics matter. And when the UN ambassador quit yesterday and he suggested putting his daughter in the job, he clearly doesn't care about optics, right?
He creates his own reality.
Right. So he figures that it doesn't matter. My people are going to love me no matter what I do. And these are the people who have been waiting, and they love me, and they're waiting for me. And I'm going to go there. And if you know, a body count starts to rise and this incredible natural disaster that's going on in the Big Bend area of Florida on the panhandle, then okay, I'll handle that when I get back. And they understand that. That's the way he looks at it.
Well, and he probably likes that it's... Well, I don't want to say likes, but it's the biggest.
He basically is like, who's going to troll me for this? If another president did it, I'd troll them. But I'm the troll. I can't troll myself. So don't worry, I'm going to say nice things about myself. And I'm the only one that counts as a troll. I'm the best troll ever. I think that's the way he looks at it.
Yeah, it's brace yourselves to what's to come from this storm, because you think of optics aside, there, you know, the devastation just in terms of the sheer damage, you can only imagine what's going to happen to the people who chose to stay behind,
right?
And others, it could be pretty ugly.
All right, we'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, Violetta, well, first of all, Judy, most importantly, has news headlines. It's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Well, the federal government's worried that many Florida coast residents didn't have enough time to evacuate ahead of the fast moving Hurricane Michael.
Watch Micah and Joe, Micah Mater, and Joe Donlin weeknights on WGN TV News at 9 o'clock.
Gail. Judge Allen was out with us earlier.
He was. He seemed very friendly to you and Kev. Maybe all of your, you know,
sucking
calls,
up.
Emails, texts.
Maybe.
Checking
We're obviously best friends.
Friendship bracelets.
No, no question.
All paid
but,
off.
Yep. Yeah.
Big friendship.
He didn't even know our names, but that's okay.
There.
Number three.
In Cincinnati, the owner of Terry's Turf Club is under fire after a video surfaced of him on social media where he makes sexual remarks after he fired a worker on Facebook. Wait, no. Hold on. There's a period there. If you fired a worker, period, on Facebook.
Got it.
Evelyn Marie Reed posted she was contacted on October 7th to work a double on October 7th.
Right. Double shift.
Double shift. So she got contacted a couple 5 days prior. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to do a double.
Okay.
On Sunday.
That's. Yeah.
She said halfway through her shift, she was fired without warning. And then. Well, the poop started flying.
You're just going to fire me without explanation?
Yeah, I don't have to. You just don't work out.
My work ethic not good enough? Was there anything you asked me to do today that I didn't do?
Keep the legs open.
Keep my legs open.
I didn't say that.
You did. I just got it on camera. Thank you, Terry. Thank you for being such a great boss.
You're welcome.
Being sexist and ignorant. And who's your attorney?
I forgot that, too.
You forgot your attorney? Okay.
That particular business establishment has been flooded with one-star reviews on all the review sites after that video went viral. People are not having it.
Did he say keep your legs open?
I didn't hear that part. She repeated it. I assume she...
Can we go back to that for a second? Can we play that again?
To make it out.
Can we slow motion?
That particular part.
She talked to the local Fox affiliate about her ordeal.
I loved my job. I always did my job to the best of my ability. And I was just asking for a reason as to why I was fired. I got fired because I was told I was not smiling enough. While I was walking up that flight of stairs, he was shoving and like hip thrusting himself into me so I would go up the stairs quicker. And he said at that point, I will miss that. Thank God I have proof. Otherwise, no one would have believed me. Because in this day and age, it's just... If you say, oh, this person did something to me, I'm trying to ruin their lives.
It's an excellent point, actually. Melania Trump herself said that.
You'd need to have evidence.
Yeah, you'd need to have evidence.
Listen to the evidence.
Yeah. All right, checking in at
number two.
Now, at the American Music Awards, Jimmy Kimmel's latest edition of Mean Tweets took aim at the world of popular music. You have Miley Cyrus, Pink, the Chainsmokers, and others singing their teeth into the venomous viper pit that is the interwebs.
One of my employees was talking about how the Chainsmokers are actually pretty good and don't deserve all the hate, so I fired him.
Trying to decide which is worst, Maroon 5, Hitler, or Imagine Dragons.
Pink is aging pretty well for a pig. Thank you.
Miley Cyrus is a smelly pirate hooker.
I would rather stab myself in the taint than hear another Nickelback song. That's funny. That's how we make Nickelback songs.
Oh, man.
Good all sports, right. All the celebrities who
and
do that.
Finally.
Number one.
Warner Saunders, the beloved NBC5 anchor, well-known Chicago journalist and former teacher, has passed away. An award-winning journalist spent four decades in Chicago television, 29 of them at NBC5, before retiring in 2009.
Every once in a while, I get homesick for Chicago. And when I think of the city, I picture all the great Chicago monuments. Soldier Field, the Sears Tower, the Art Institute, and of course, Warner Saunders. He was a Chicago institution long before I arrived. And today there's an entire generation of Chicagoans, myself included, who can't picture life without Warner on the air. For as long as we can remember, he's been there, breaking barriers to explore every inch of the city we love and bring us the world beyond.
Warner Saunders had won 20 Emmy Awards over his career for news, sports, documentaries, a children's program that he hosted, a talk show that he hosted,
mm-hmm.
community town meetings.
I remember going into his office when I first started NBC, and it was intimidating because all these golden statues were all around the office. I'd never seen so many in one place in my life.
He had taught at Malcolm X, Northeastern, Indiana University, Northwest Campus. He was voted Teacher of the Year for two consecutive years there.
Mm-hmm.
And during his final sign-off in 2009, Warner Saunders thanked the viewers.
I'm just in awe
that you have allowed me to come into your home for all of these years. We bring some pretty nasty news from time to time, and I'm just glad that you all didn't kill the messenger. There have been so many emails and cards and phone calls from you. It has literally been overwhelming. One of the good things about this kind of business is when you hear from people, people who you work with and you're trying to connect with are concerned about you, it's overwhelming.
Warner Saunders was 83.
The top five at five.
Brocon Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right. We have many things to get to before we are out of here at 7 o'clock. I'm going to check in with Pete Combs from ABC News, who's in Panama City, Florida. And he's going to be joining us and telling us what. Now, this, as we look at this hurricane,
yeah,
it came on shore around 11 o'clock Chicago time today. It's already crossing the Florida, Georgia, Alabama line. It's actually, it has climbed up. It's moving very quickly, which is sort of a mixed bag. It's good news in the sense that there will be less water, there will be less, you know, rain on the ground.
Doesn't than you would stall normally in have any place where it's dumping.
Right. But it's but also the winds are higher as it is moving through.
Yeah, they said 125 mile per mile hour winds as of an hour ago still clocked, and so that's those are serious winds.
And just to give you a sense of how big this storm is, as it is hitting in the central part of the panhandle, that's where it came ashore in Florida, and Florida's a big state. If anybody's ever driven around Florida, they know it's a very big state. This storm is affecting the east coast of Florida now. It's affecting Daytona Beach. It's affecting the Atlantic seaboard, the northern half of Florida and the Atlantic seaboard, because there's wraparound storms that are making their way through there that are causing problems. So this thing is not only a problem for this part of Florida, which is that it hit, and Apalachicola, which is a town that people are very concerned about because it's a lot of old, beautiful old town. Really, you know, one of those kind of turn of the century. You go to it and you just it's a relic in time. There's great concern that not much will still be standing now. Peter Combe has been there for Peter. You've been obviously there all day and through yesterday and in through today. What was the worst of it where you are?
The worst of it was really around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I swear to you, I've never heard a sound like what I heard as the wind howled through the power lines and around the buildings. It was a low, haunting sort of moan that just it makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up. It was an amazing sound. I will never, ever forget it. And that wind, which blew in places at 155 miles an hour, almost a Category 5 storm, that wind did a great deal of damage. I'm looking at trees down. I saw just a moment ago in the lagoon between Panama City Beach, which is a barrier island, and Panama City on the mainland, a couple of boats had been capsized. There was a great deal of damage done to a manufacturing building just right across the causeway on the mainland side. I have seen, I saw a power pole guy that was actually flipped over and drove into the ground with such force that it stuck in the ground and broke a water line. That gives you an idea of just how powerful this storm was.
When you we always tell people in our business to get out, and yet our people stay in, and that's often a criticism that we hear from people like, "Well, you guys are staying. Why? You know, why do we have to get out?
Why is that okay?
Where are you, and how were you able to secure yourself? Because I know we tried to talk to you a couple times today, and you kept losing your signal, and there was, you know, I think they were moving you around a little bit. How do you secure yourself?
Well, you're right. I mean, I lost and still don't have, I don't have any internet, I don't have any cell phone. I'm using a broadcast device right now that doesn't use any of that, and that's the only way I'm able to talk to anybody out here. In fact, my wife hasn't been able to talk to me since the storm hit. I won't talk to her until after 8 o'clock tonight. She knows I'm okay, but there's no other way to get in touch. I stayed in a hotel that's four stories tall. It's a relatively new building, and it's built to what they call the Andrew Code, which is the post-Hurricane Andrew building code in Florida that's so stringent that most buildings around the coast have to be engineered to withstand winds of 150 miles an hour. And by golly, we had winds that were almost like that. So I always kept the building between me and the storm, and that was the trick to being able to not only stay alive, but to be able to work during the storm.
So as you look around here, because there's obviously now as that storm is moving past and at such a rapid pace, we were just saying that it's that the tri-state region between the Florida, Georgia line and Alabama that kicks in right there, that there's a three corners area right there on the map. You could see that, and the storm is now just the eyes just move past that. The center part of the storm, really not an eye anymore, but the center part.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they say it's moving at 15 miles an hour. That it's considerably faster than that, actually. And so the question is, as people start to come out now, is it is the weather is clearing where you are.
Yeah.
What are they going to find? I mean, a low level structure seem to be decimated.
A lot of the lighter, the less reinforced structures have indeed been pretty badly damaged. Some of the older houses here on the mainland right by the water, they've been hit very, very bad. Lots of trees down here. But again, a great deal of the newer structures seem to have not only done well in terms of damage, but some of them don't seem damaged at all. A lot of roofs have been knocked out. Here you're listening to this. That's an emergency flash flood warning. We're getting a lot of those even still. But guys, right now, this storm moves so fast, and the winds have picked up to the point where the pavement's dry. I mean, we just had a hurricane a few hours ago, and the pavement is dry.
But the storm surge is still, there's still the possibility of storm surge hours after this, right?
That's right. The storm surge, that's not right. The storm surge will not be a problem. It is already passed, and as the storm passes, the surge subsides. The surge is actually the storm pushing water ahead of it.
Okay.
And around on the sides. And so after it leaves the Gulf and gets over land, then it's not a problem. But we did have storm surge here of up to 9 feet in some places in this immediate area, 14 feet in other areas. Wow. Right now, I got to tell you guys, police just came by, and they are now going through the neighborhood, and they're trying to talk in the bullhorn, make sure that everybody's okay. If you have a problem, come out and let us know, and we'll get you the help you need. This is the first time that law officers and first responders have been able to get out since the storm abated about an hour and a half, 2 hours ago.
We saw earlier that in the days leading up to this, please evacuate if you're in a certain zone. But then today, the authorities were saying, hey, if you're already in position, don't even try to leave your house as this approaches shelter in place. Have you seen any difficulties with those people who chose to stay back and did not evacuate in that high impact zone?
Not yet. I saw some people who were just coming out of their houses as the wind was just beginning to die down, and they looked pretty dazed about the whole thing. They just rode out a high category 4 hurricane. But I'm looking at some people now who are just sitting across the road. I'm going to talk to them in just a second. They said they made it fine. Everybody they know was okay. And that is a blessing, because there was a great deal of fear about what people would find once they were able to get back into the neighborhoods, because so many people stayed against the demands or the orders of state government.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And now parts of North Carolina, South Carolina, and North Carolina are right in the bullseye of this. Already seen a lot of rain as last week's hurricane moved through that area, and now you've got Columbia, South Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, all looking at very severe weather. And the next day, again, as this storm is moving very, very quickly, it's going to cross over in Virginia and then out again to sea. So it's this is a big weather system here, and it does sound like the at least at this moment. There's been a ton of damage. You're in Panama City. You're a little bit to the north of where the eye was. And then if you head back toward Apalachicola, where there's been a lot of concern. Have we heard anything about Apalachicola? Because that's a town that was right in the center of it, and they were most concerned that the structures there would not be able to withstand these 150 mile per hour plus winds.
You know, Apalachicola actually was on the other side of the eye. Mexico Beach was where it came ashore. It was headed right for us and then made a bit of a right turn as it was coming north, and that's where it came ashore, Mexico Beach. There is a very ominous silence from Mexico Beach right now. We haven't heard anything. That is my next destination, but that took the brunt of the storm, and what little I've heard is not good. I've heard words like obliterated when people talk about houses in Mexico Beach. I've heard people who lived in concrete condos, you know, really, really stoutly built buildings, talk about the wall shaking and the roofs coming off. So I need to find out what happened over there. What's clear to me is that it's worse, the damage is worse than what we have here. What's not clear to me is how much worse that is.
Yeah, the early video that we're seeing from that area, too, it shows that any one-story house was pretty much submerged and became part of that ocean as that storm surge moved in. It does not look good. And the debris, just incredible in that area.
All right.
Yeah, and that's what we're afraid of, you bet.
Pete, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Stay safe. Pete Combs,
thanks,
ABC
guys.
News.
Thank you very much.
All right. Let's check in with Judy Pilak. What's coming up, Judy, at the top of the hour in the WGN newsroom?
Cases of a polio-like disease increasing in northern Illinois.
The cast of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory joins the Steve Cochran Show in studio tomorrow morning, 9:40. Try and convince Steve that Oompa Loompas are real people.
Met people that remind me of Oompa Loompas.
I love the Oompa Loompas.
And I see one on TV just all the time daring. That looks like he's the chief Oompa Loompa.
I see what you're saying there. Yeah. Kind of know what you're talking about.
All right. Hey, I want to ask you this question.
Yeah.
There is there's a story that none other than the than the Wall Street Journal is pushing here. Mm-hmm. About a plan that science has for cloning of extinct animals.
Is that a good idea?
Well, I just want to go through this with you,
like,
for just a moment.
Dinosaurs, T-Rexes,
woolly mammoths. As a matter of fact, the Russians right now are working on a woolly mammoth park where they're going to breed elephants, and it's literally insert them with genetically reconfigured eggs that contain the DNA of woolly mammoths that they've been able to recover. Now, these are woolly mammoths, right?
They're big. Do they belong in modern?
They're really, really big.
Big. They're big. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen the woolly mammoth, at the museum, the woolly mammoth.
Yeah. I mean, you think elephants are big, and then you see the woolly mammoth. You're like, wow.
So the Russians want to do this.
This is like Game of Thrones.
These darn Russians.
They're getting their own dragons.
It's more than Game of Thrones, my dear. This is the plot of Jurassic Park, right?
We've seen the story before.
We totally have. And it isn't good for humans.
It's a... It's an impact tremor is what it is. I'm fairly alarmed here.
Come on. We got to get out of here. Now. Right.
And can they outrun the dinosaurs?
I don't think so. Can the Russians outrun the woolly mammoths? And what happens when the woolly mammoth, you know, they build a fence, right, to keep the woolly mammoth in, or some sort of a...
That doesn't go well either.
A moat, or I don't know, where are you going to put it? When you get the woolly mammoth up and going, what is the woolly mammoth? And what happens when the woolly mammoth goes, hey, listen... I remember right before the asteroid hit, genetically, I have it kind of in my genetic memory that I'm supposed to eat everything that's in front of me. I'm not your docile, you know, like I'm just chewing on a leaf elephant.
That can't end well.
No, I don't think so.
I wonder why. What would be the reason?
Because they want to show things up. First of all, the Russian economy is crap, and they're just trying to make something happen there, I think, is the first most important part.
Make it like a tourist park, Woolly Mammothville.
Woolly Mammoth World.
Aren't they the same ones that also have, like, baby giraffes? Like mini drugs.
Well, that was in a commercial, yes. Oh. That was yeah.
Never mind, fake news.
Yeah. No, that's yeah. You're confusing that, yes, but that's okay. But there are other scientists. I want to bring back the carrier pigeon.
Oh, I hate birds. No.
I mean, do we need the carrier pigeon?
I'm not sure. I'm not as fearful of the carrier pigeon as I am the woolly mammoth.
Just email each other.
Right, but these can't be hacked.
Yeah. Oh, I think they can, actually.
Well.
Yeah.
Right?
And then,
snipe it down.
And then what happens when a carrier pigeon that we've just genetically engineered sneezes on you and gives you some other kind of avian disease, right? I mean, you know what's going to happen there. That's not going to be so good. It's the woolly mammoth. Back to the woolly mammoth.
Well, yeah. The bird just bit the mammoth.
I don't feel as though that this is a very good idea at all. We've already had the warning of this. We already made a movie warning us about this.
This movie for sure.
That's true. We've seen some other things that are happening now that we've seen movies about before and that we didn't seem to believe it. And now it's happening again. We actually have a woolly mammoth sound.
Oh.
How would we know what a woolly mammoth sounds like?
Well, from the Ice Age movie, obviously.
Oh, of course.
Yeah,
that
no,
sounds
I'm out.
Like a tiger no, or lion thing. Oh, no.
Yeah.
And you know what? Donald Trump Jr. is going to want to try to find that and shoot it down. Hold up.
Like
hold
wild
up.
Game reserves?
Or you just, he could just keep shooting at it. And it keeps coming closer to him. And then it could be the other side, you know, sort of like, your guns are useless against me.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Not a good idea.
Terrible. No, there is nothing good about this. Nothing good at all. And again, the carrier pigeon. Does Amazon think this is going to be helpful to them? They won't need drivers, just carrier pigeons?
Won't need drones?
The drone that maybe for places where drones can't get, a carrier pigeon can drop my shoes off at me? Hair product?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What is a carrier pigeon?
Okay.
I mean, it's different than a regular pigeon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a
You can't train pigeons now to carry things.
Well, a carrier pigeon is a don't worry about it. It's too much to explain.
We have a texter wondering about the dodo bird. Should we bring that one back? Remember, they can't fly, so they wouldn't be as useful in terms of delivery service. But they could go slower.
Maybe for the postal service, you know, sort of more on their feet. You know, can they drive? I mean, if they can't fly, can they drive? Maybe we could genetically engineer a dodo bird to drive, and then replace a lot
driverless
of
cars.
Yeah, we think we have an unemployment problem. We have an overemployment problem now. Wait till you see the dodo bird step up into this. Judy's News, brought to you by the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom at 2. Pilak on Sunday in New Lenox. She's the goodbye girl, and she's going to be the Goodwill store and donation center in New Lenox. It's a Halloween bash. Come out and join us. Or actually, let me say this. Come out and join her, because I don't go and enjoy Halloween-ish things.
You're not on board with Halloween.
You can't
even show up for me.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you don't need news every half hour. Wow.
Okay.
I'd say you should show up.
Yeah. Or I could call Domitipongo. I could do one or the other. I could work that out. Now, there's going to be food from Bartolini's and a chance to win prizes, including, now, what is being described here as Judy's pièce de résistance, her greatest work of spookiness.
So you created this, Judy. There's some work of art.
Yes, I'm getting all of my items from, of course, Goodwill.
Yeah.
So it's like a tablescape.
Okay.
That would look good in anyone's home or on your front porch. Or, in Rose's case, on your patio. The deck. Everything comes traces back to the deck.
You could scare off the children since you've seen
that. That would be a good thing.
Is it really? Yeah. It's a scary tablescape.
Oh, it's scary, all right. Mm, yeah. Perfect. I went a little bit crazy with the dolls. But anyway, it's awesome.
Oh, dolls. Oh, dolls creep me out to begin with.
Clowns and dolls.
I made them
two scariest, creepiest things ever.
I hear them playing out in the garage, so it's
that could be helpful for you, Ro, because, you know, you don't like Halloween, and you don't like trick-or-treaters, and you don't like people touching your perfect deck, and so you could get lots of scary things and scare everybody truly away, and then they wouldn't come to your house for Halloween.
I would be scared by that, though. I would be scared by the by the tablescape itself.
Person.
Right, and I wouldn't be able to handle that. That I would not like.
It's kind of fun, too. It's not that
fun.
Scary.
When you say fun, what's your definition of fun? What is
funny
it?
Funny how?
My definition of fun? S-C-A-R-E.
Yeah, okay. All right, this is by hook or by crook. You can go to New Lenox at 441 East Lincoln Highway. This is on Sunday, October 14th, from noon to 2 p.m. Be prompt.
Yes.
Because Judy takes names, and she takes attendance, actually, at the top of all of her attendance.
I will be in costume as well, so people won't even know it's me.
And when is the giveaway? Is that toward the end there?
You know, it's, all 2 hours. They give away $25 gift cards to Goodwill, Bears tickets, Hawks tickets. Wow. Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Wow. You would. Let me tell you, Ro, how many men stick around for those Bears tickets every time
Maybe
I have
it's
an
for
appearance.
You.
Oh, yeah.
I act like it's for me, but I know it's for the tickets.
And it's for the tickets. And this is the year to be a Bears fan right now, man.
Yeah.
This is it. We are still very optimistic. Very optimistic.
Super optimistic. Did you watch?
As a matter of fact, did you see this story today? That Mitchell Trubisky, I guess we just got to say that he is the finest. He would be MT. Right? Are we going to call him MT?
Is that his nickname?
No, nobody calls him that.
Nobody.
Like TB12?
Okay.
We can't do that?
MT10?
MT10? MT10?
T-minus 10?
Is it too much to call
it
him
It sounds
that?
Like empty. Like he is empty of talent.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. You don't want to go with that. He's
I
full
thought
of
a
talent.
Good idea. All right. I'll leave again. All right, so Mitchell Trubisky, did you see this? That he's wearing... His arm, he was wearing an arm sleeve.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know what that was.
Now, you see a lot of quarterbacks wear them because they, I don't know, they wear them either to stay warmer or they want to keep their arm warmer. In this case, he wore it because he apparently had cut himself or had been cut.
Mm-hmm.
And he was gushing blood and he wanted to cover it up. That's how he described it. Isn't that right, Kev?
It is right. Yeah, he got suffered the cut week 3 against Arizona, and then he said it
never really healed,
so he just went with that, and it just happened to throw 6 touchdown passes, so he will be wearing it against Sunday.
Just kind of superstition.
Yeah, that's kind of what he said today. He goes, why not? He might as well keep wearing it. So, yeah, he threw the elbow pad on and threw 6 touchdowns, so keep it going.
Yeah.
Bears are wearing those orange jerseys Sunday with white pants, so he says he still hasn't decided what color he's going with yet. If it'll be that blue one or the orange one, who knows?
I think orange.
These are the big questions.
I think orange or white. You can go with white.
White
if I were him,
good.
I'd go with the white because of the white pants and the white. He was the white sleeve when he was, you know, last week against Tampa. So that would be, I'd go with white again. I'd wear the same one.
I thought it was blue last week.
It.
The navy blue
white.
One.
Was it white?
I remember navy blue.
All right.
Kind of remember
Do we take a look
too.
At that? All right.
Yeah, I like a white next week, though. That sounds good.
Well, whatever he was wearing, you should probably wear that. I got to tell you that, you know, the orange jersey never really worked for me. Although,
no.
Devin Hester had a huge run back in that. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was either Mike Brown or Peanut Tillman. Remember, there were two times where the Bears returned short field goal attempts for touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Mike Brown and Peanut Tillman both had one in that era.
Mm-hmm.
And they were wearing orange in one of those run backs. Somebody can look that up for me. But that's the only, see the orange jersey. I don't know. Is there a way to look up how they performed with the orange jersey?
Sure. I'll try to get the win loss record for you. They're wearing
That jersey.
They're wearing
you
it.
Do?
Yeah, it looks good.
I think it was Nathan Vasher, Ro.
Maybe Nathan Vasher.
Vasher.
It's hard to look good in orange.
I think orange looks good on everyone.
No, it does not.
No, big orange is not good. look like a pumpkin in mid-orange.
You know what? The Dolphins make it work with powder blue. Why can't we have
the
orange?
Dolphins make it work?
They don't make it work.
Since Larry Zonka, the Dolphins have not made it work in powder blue. I just went up with that in 1972.
It's powder blue.
So don't get all excited.
Maybe it's the Jets. I don't know. One of those teams.
Now, Jets, not since 1969. And Joe Namath have
I'm not talking about winning games. I'm talking about winning the fashion game.
All right, the Bears are 5-2 in orange jerseys.
There
I got to take
go.
All this back.
All right.
Oh, ah! Well, there
wow.
you go.
Wow.
And they wear them. They wear it twice this year.
Well, it's because the players stand out.
I gotta say, the one jersey that doesn't work for me, other than the orange one, which is it just kind of freaks me out, is the throwback one, which is just a blue jersey without the stripes on it, right? And it's got orange numbers. I mean, it's
a pretty simple one.
Yeah, it's really simple. And I go, well, this is what they were wearing when they were the Staley Stanleys or whatever they were. You know? And then you're like, the Stanley
Stanleys.
It
doesn't Stavers. Look right. It doesn't look like professional sports.
Yeah. And then what's even more confusing is when the Green Bay Packers wear theirs, because theirs is blue.
They have that ugly one, though, where it's like, like a tan brown pants with a blue jersey and then like a weird like V-looking logo on it.
But by far the worst in all of professional sports.
I think I know where you're going
the
with.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, when they look like...
The bumblebee look.
Right, they look like that bee from that cereal commercial.
Oh, it's the worst.
Cereal commercial.
Or it reminds me of SNL.
There's just too many jerseys, period, in my opinion, in all sports, because they're just trying to sell more jerseys. Like, whoa, you have the 1930 throwback. Do you have the 1940 throwback?
So when I went and I jumped on the bandwagon, I admit it, I don't wear jerseys to games because I just I'm grown up. I shouldn't be doing that. But I went and I got a Khalil Mack jersey. I just had to have it.
Great.
My last jersey prior to that was the Fukudome jersey for the Cubs that had Fukudome in Japanese on the back.
It turned out it was actually a
phonetic pronunciation of it.
Uh-huh.
And a Japanese guy almost tried to kill me for wearing it. So that was a problem. I got the Khalil Mack jersey, and I stood in line, went to the NFL's shop at Soldier Field during the Monday night game.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the, I stood in line and they were just bringing these things out by the boxes. There were people just, all these dudes in line to get these jerseys. And you had the blue, the white, and then the orange. And what was interesting is I went with the white, very controversial call, I'm told. But the orange, nobody was interested in.
Oh, see, there you go. People know. The orange doesn't really look good on a lot of people.
Yeah. That was the thing. People, the blue, you couldn't. I mean, people were literally pulling the blue away from each other. That's why I went to the white, because I thought, I'm going to get scratched here with all the people in their hands.
You might have to wear one of those Mitch Trubisky little bandages.
I need
one of those.
I'm afraid you're going to scratch me with that. Please, gentlemen, stop fighting.
Hand me one of those white
There's
ones.
Enough. I'll just take the white one.
Just don't give me the orange.
Yeah.
You'll be happy.
They'll clash with my shoes.
Yeah, but I think with the white, I figure the white kind of goes with everything. I just figured I could work that out.
So have you worn it yet?
I wore it that day.
Okay.
Because I put it on. I was just wearing a shirt, so I put it on over the shirt.
So you did. You broke your rule about wearing them
to
games.
I wore it at the game, but we ended up sitting in a place where it wasn't fun, and then I went last week.
Wear it again?
And I wore it again.
Well, now you have to wear it.
And I was, in full kind of, you know, like I was able to like wear jeans and that, and it was fun. Like I was with the boys. I was with the boys, and I was in the crowd. It was fun.
Doing beers and sausage.
We were in a corporate kind of a thing the night that I put it on the first time.
Uh-huh.
And I was wearing my
right.
shirt, like my suit from work.
Your cravat was sticking out from underneath it.
Right, and it just didn't seem right.
It doesn't blend.
It didn't seem right.
It's not a good look.
Right. And everybody was in the corporate thing, and they were all sort of like,
everybody keep down, please.
Yes,
keep it down.
I'm sorry, it's a little loud in here right now. Right, and I was like, "Oh, come on!" It was I really, when I go to a football game, I want to be outside. I don't care how cold it is. And this is the only thing it's crazy. I care about it everywhere else except at Soldier Field. I was at a game where the high was 3 below.
Oh, yeah.
During the playoffs,
we've
right?
all been there
seven
That's
years
true.
Ago, and it was great because it's still warm. And then you could also get, as long as your flask is not metal, it's plastic, you can get that in like no problem. Or airline bottles, if you can still get a hold of them.
Pro tip.
Yeah. And that was the way to go. That is the way. Yeah, it's just fun to be out because it's so loud and it's
Bears fans are incredible. Yeah, they're just it's just incredibly part of that atmosphere. Just love going to the games.
No better place to be in the world, I don't think, than Soldier Field.
Mm.
But
and right now, especially.
Yeah. I mean, well, okay. I will admit I would not go see them play Detroit in a meaningless game in December. No. I do have You're to acknowledge out. That I would not do that.
But it's incredible. Khalil Mack was talking about how Bears fans had just embraced him so much more than, you know, we're in Oakland. And it just in a short period of time. And you look at his jersey, how it's selling here. It's phenomenal.
Well, yeah. People love defense here. And when you got a player like Khalil Mack, who's been the best defense player. I mean, it's in my opinion, it's Patrick Mahomes, the leader for MVP. And then Khalil Mack should be number two in the front runner. That's how good I think he's been and the impact he's sort of had.
Mm-hmm. Right. And oh, yeah.
Chicago's just going to fall in love with the dominant defensive guy every time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. The whole thing is fun. And there's right now, it's all on the come, right? It's all good. There's no, they're going to go down to Miami,
mm-hmm.
and Miami's going to play in powder blue. And as Judy likes to say, it's more of a teal, really, when you stop and you think about
it. It is more of a teal.
It's more of a teal.
Like sea foam.
Yes, sea foam
right.
Green.
Yeah.
And then the orange. It'll be very nice when the Bears are playing in their orange and their sea foam green and orange on the same.
They feel better about themselves, and then they win.
It's like a birdcage matchup between these two, is what it is on Sunday. Oh, God.
Yeah, those are not. The jersey is not the right color.
Yeah. But it's okay. As long as, I want to be 6-2 at the end of it. And Miami is going to have a problem. This is the thing that we have kind of kept as a little, I mean, it's been reported, but it's going to be very exciting when we, you know, talk Bears on Friday. Because the left tackle for the Miami Dolphins,
mm-hmm.
who was a very great left tackle,
mm-hmm.
is out of this game, injured. And as if you've seen The Blind Side, you know the left tackle is like the most important
mm-hmm.
position on the field, because if the edge rusher gets past the left tackle, then the quarterback has got his back to, and he's throwing the ball, he's got his back to who's coming at him. And guess who will be coming at him from that position?
Khalil Mack.
The guy wearing my jersey.
52.
Yeah. Laramie Tunsil is the guy you're talking about. He's dealing with concussion. Not completely ruled out yet, but it's not looking good for him playing.
Right. We'll know tomorrow for sure, right?
Friday.
I should have known today, I thought.
Well, you get an injury report, but it's just a status. He was limited participant today. So you just kind of get like what they did in practice. They don't give their actual status for Sunday. You don't get their actual status for Sunday until Sunday morning.
Even if he's totally healthy, it's still Khalil Mack. But
right.
I mean, come on.
Right. Yeah. That's sort of, you almost feel bad for the guy at that point.
Yeah. So, oh my God!
To other teams, how they must prepare for Khalil Mack after they see what he's doing this season. It's, you know, it's got to be incredible, right? You've got to plan around him in a big way.
I just wish John Fox were coaching some offense right now.
What is he thinking about Khalil Mack coming over?
I wish maybe. Although it's Gase, who is the coach at Miami, who was under John Fox here, who was should have been the head coach of the Bears, but you know, we'll take Matt Nagy. Right.
And today, Adam Gase said Mack's playing at a level he's never seen a player play
at
before.
Yeah, play it. That's good when your coach says that about the opposing player.
Good luck, guys.
Yeah. Hey, you guys are. Listen, did I tell you I've got that thing? I'm not going to be there Sunday.
Forget about it.
All right. Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
And now, the Rokan Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokan.
Thank you, Mr. Debbie. Very, very exciting. Scott King is our celebrity today, correspondent for NHL.com. He's the WGN Blackhawks insider. He writes some of the comedy for Forbes. And, you know, if you read Forbes, you know, that's there's some pretty funny crap in there. I got to tell you that right now. And Blackhawks Crazy on WGN Plus. So thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. I like the celebrity title. I appreciate it.
Yes.
It does a lot for my confidence. I've been preparing mentally all day for this. I'm not someone who takes kindly to being rused.
Right.
So.
Well, you'll do terribly if you prepare it then. You're going to be a disaster.
Yeah. When overthink constantly.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, let's... okay, now, and you understand how this goes, right? You understand what we're going to do is we're going to news you or ruse you. We're going to read you a headline. You and your contestant, your very lucky contestant, because you're a celebrity, will have to decide whether the headline that we are reading to you is real or fake.
So we consult each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Before the final answer.
insult or consult?
Yeah, but
well, depending on what
it
team
depends
you're on
their suggestion.
And
yeah.
Violetta always insults her listener.
No, I don't.
Yeah. Damn it, you do. All right. Let me tell you what people are going to win here. Grand prize winner gets a pair of tickets to see Bassam Youssef, who is going to be live at the Mac Theater, College of DuPage, October 19th. He has been dubbed the Egyptian Jon Stewart. That does not do him credit, actually.
What does that mean?
He's a political satirist. He's been seen on The Daily Show, and he's been on Colbert. He is a guy, though, in the middle of the Arab Spring. Mm-hmm. He was taken into custody, as I seem to recall. I mean, he was like a guy that they were like, oh, hey, not to be making jokes. And it was like a big deal. And he's like, he's kind of an international sensation because he stood up to all of that.
Yeah.
You know, he made jokes. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but it seems to me that especially Middle East extremists tend not to have a sense of humor.
Things are not very funny when you mock their ruling elite or their government. Yes.
You're going to prison now. Smart guy, funny guy. Oh, I admit you're a funny guy.
Your Arab needs a little work. Exactly.
It's
right.
My Egyptian, by the way. My Egyptian.
Mm-hmm. Still needs work. You sound like the store owner on The Simpsons, which they've decided to discontinue that character because he's not exactly.
One comedian wrote a blog about it. Yeah.
Yeah. That is a problem. Yeah. I'm just telling you. That's as I recall. That's how I remember the Egyptian president sounding. It's
your interpretation. It's mm-hmm. fine.
It's right. I'm just being me. And everybody also gets a never measure. Actually, the winner also gets a never measure. Easily center, level, and hang your wall decorations fast. This is great. It's got that laser thing. I'm telling you, it is the greatest thing I have. I just measure my walls for the sake of measuring my walls because it's so easy now. Just tells you what I do.
Don't you measure everything?
And then that doesn't work that way. It just goes because it says 12 feet, which I like, but it turns out not to be true.
It's got a laser.
Pair
on
of
sure
tickets to Avenue Q. Now plants when I say that. That's a laser. That's a laser problem. That was because the laser nicked it. The pair of tickets to Avenue Q now playing at Mercury Theater Chicago, the Modern Laugh Out Loud puppet comedy musical following a group of 20-somethings making their way to the big city. For tickets, call 773-325-1700 or mercurytheater.com. That's what the runner's up got. So everybody's a winner here. All right, ready to play?
Let's do it.
I was not. Apparently not ready. Oh, my God. Somebody, apparently we do have one of the listeners from South Florida, from the Panhandle.
Be joining us.
Do you mind picking up and figuring out who that is, and we'll fix that problem?
Either that or in the bathroom. They have a heavy, heavy breathing.
The scuba diving instructor calling in.
Hey, got to work.
I can't have that.
Luke, I am your father.
Yes, that's not going to be good. All right, so we got that fixed yet? I don't think we do.
Let's check if it's entertaining.
All right, let's see here. Hold on. Am I allowed to
check in with Bob and Judy?
Yes. Well, Chuck, Jimmy, and Bob are our three contestants. We're trying to figure it out right now. All right, ready?
We got it.
Okay, here
we're
go.
We're good.
Okay, as far as we can tell. Yeah, much better. All right, Bob and Judy. Bob, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm ready to go.
Okay. All right, whoever's outside in a storm, try to get into a cave to finish this game. This is the biggest radio game show in America.
Fastest growing.
Not on public radio. All right, here we go. Here's your headline, Bob. Chernobyl reopens as a solar power plant.
I'd say ruse.
Judy, are you going to help him here? What do you?
Okay.
Ooh, no, that's true.
Have to recover from that. All right, Chuck and Violetta. Here's your headline: Orlando nursery license under review after baby gator therapy goes viral. That's not good.
Anything important? Yeah, we got good news.
I know, but I'm gonna advise you as ruse. That's just my final answer.
Okay, we'll go with your advice. Ruse.
Well done.
Oh, my God, Chuck. That is the most humiliating thing that has ever happened to you.
I just want to say,
when Violetta goes, listen, I'm going to have to advise you, sir, that you are wrong.
No, we're a team.
She must have heard it.
We're a team. She was right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Maybe she got a cheat sheet. I don't know. All right, Jimmy and Scott, here is your headline. Border agents start 47,000-acre wildfire by shooting exploding target at gender reveal party.
I don't know, Scott. I'm going to say that one's a ruse.
Well, let me think through this, Jimmy.
There's a lot going on. As a
journalist, I can tell you it's a very long headline. But I know, as Rose says, you can't always think that. You can't always think critically as a journalist when playing news or ruse.
No, don't think critically.
There's just a lot going on.
Did you hear what Violetta just did? There's no critical thinking here. Sir, I'm going to have to advise you.
All right. What do you think? You think ruse, Jimmy? Is that what you said?
I'm thinking it's a ruse, yeah.
I'm going with ruse. Lock it in.
I saw that one too, so I could have advised both of you.
Like, so you literally saw the answers on a sheet? Is that
no,
what you mean?
I've seen that. I've seen that before.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm as shocked as you, Jimmy.
Your words are my words. Wow. All right. And right now, Violetta's off to a commanding lead.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
All right. Here we go. Back to you, Barb and... Bob and Judy.
Bob and Judy, here's your headline, guys. British couple gets drunk, buys hotel they're staying at on honeymoon.
That'd be a great movie.
Yeah.
What do you think, Bob?
I think that's news.
I do, too.
I think Bob wants to play with Violetta. All right. News? Going news?
Yeah, news. Right.
There you go.
Without the advice of Violetta.
I know.
You got one right.
All right, let's see how Chuck and Violetta handle this one. Here you go. Man who removed bus stop bench to check its dimensions for renovation gets detention.
What do you think, Chucky?
You called her last time. I'm going to say news.
All right, I'm going to go with you. News.
Wow.
Oh, gosh.
How about that? That's a pretty big deal.
How about that? All right, Jimmy Scott, here's your headline. Stephen Miller's third grade teacher says he was a loner and ate glue.
You knew it.
The state of our educational system, I'm going to say that is probably true.
I understand the commentary you're going for there, Jimmy. Would you remember something that specific about a student, though?
Apparently, Mr. Miller.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ruse. You want to go ruse with me?
Yes, since you went with me last time,
thanks, Jimmy. We're going ruse.
That is a really bad.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. 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 No, well, you just eliminated the contestant, so don't worry about it. It's fine.
No big deal. It's all right.
That was really well done.
He still gets a never measure.
Yeah. You gotta make sure this guy gets a never measure. And don't try to measure anything else with it, if you know what I mean. It could leave a mark. You don't want that.
Ouch.
Yeah, I know. All right, hold on. Everybody's got to stop right here. Let's find out from Judy what's happening in the real news at the top of the hour. I'm sure it's hurricane-related.
Yes, at least one dead now from Hurricane Michael.
Violetta?
Chuck Todd from Meet the Press joins the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow morning, 6:40, breaking down the list of candidates most likely to replace outgoing ambassador of the UN, Nikki Haley.
All right, we're playing News or Ruse. And I just want to say that, well, Scott King, you've played this game with us before.
I have not played with you.
I thought you did.
No. Oh, no. I think I've just been with you guys at the UC before Hawks games, actually. So
Studio with us last year. Now I see my mind's eye.
No.
All right. Well, then explains why you didn't make it to the second round, to the third round, or whatever this is here. But you did get a never measure for your... which is very
did I really?
Yeah, you got a never measure.
Okay,
not for
okay.
you, but you got it for your contestant.
My partner, who I'll probably never see on the street.
Right.
If your does, problem was you, might blame you were overthinking it or actually thinking it all.
You see,
you
that's
know, I
the
think
thing.
You're right.
Didn't you just say at the very beginning of this, don't overthink this, I'm not going to overthink this, Rose says don't overthink this, and then you overthought it.
I got in my own head.
Yeah, don't get in your own head.
I know.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
It's not a good place to be.
Here's another place you want to be, my head. Even more important. No. All right, right now we've got... Bob and Judy and Chuck and Violetta each have one right.
Actually, I think we have two right.
You do have two right. I tried to make that into a zero. It's a one. Yeah, you have two right. So here's the deal. Bob and Judy, you gotta get this one right to stay in it. Are you ready?
Okay. Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. This is the Orion Samuelson round. Here you go.
Federal judge grants deadline extension to Utah lawyer who said Jazz loss led to late filing?
I have no clue.
Jazz loss?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
Oh, right. That makes so much more sense.
It does make a lot of sense, but I don't know, Bob. I'm gonna leave that with you.
I'm saying it's a ruse. It sounds like it too much. Mm. Too much.
I thought it was news, but I'm gonna go with your gut because I'm off today.
Okay.
Right. Why are you here then?
I don't know. Ruse. Okay, ruse.
Violetta is the commanding series champion now of News or Ruse.
Seriously.
This is the crazy thing.
There's no way she's won more than me.
I think she has. We're going to go back. We're going to look.
Don't make me.
You know what? But let me explain something. Hey, did we just put Bob on hold? Do we put Bob on hold? I wanted to tell Bob something important.
All right.
Bob.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Thanks. How you doing? Bob, here's the deal. I want you to go out and I want you to see Judy this weekend.
Oh. Okay, at the Salvation Army.
No.
Oh, no. Oh.
Nice try. This is why you didn't win News or Ruse, Bob.
Goodwill. It's a
Judy's
Goodwill.
She's going to beat you up.
Yeah. She's the goodbye girl. B-U-Y. B-U-Y. Goodbye girl.
It was close, okay. But not right.
I hear you.
Salvation Army. Yeah, it's the same thing. Don't worry about
it. I'm saying all the wrong things.
Yeah, all right. It's okay. I have the address in front of me. I don't know what just happened to
it's
it.
New Lenox.
It's in New Lenox.
At the Goodwill in New Lenox.
And she's gonna be there Sunday from 12 to 2. Go by, and she'll get you something real nice by Goodwill.
Slice of pizza.
Bears tickets.
All right, gotta come out and win them.
They're out there. All right.
Okay.
Thank you. See how nice it is that people actually want Bears tickets. Thank you very much. Seriously. And Chuck, congratulations to you. That's a big win right there.
Chuck is the one that was in the
Chuck was nearly
gone.
Disqualified.
Turn of events.
I thought it was Bob.
I don't know.
My money was on Bob, too, but it was Chuck, turns out.
Turns out that Chuck, the whole time, he was keeping his windows up until he won, and then he put his windows down, and the next thing you know, boop, boop. Chuck
goes. Right.
Way to go, Chucky.
Yeah, that was nice. He's going to, I think he's going to enjoy this, the tickets to go see Bassem Youssef. At the Mac Theater of College of DuPage on October 19th, dubbed the Egyptian John Stewart.
I think we're all waiting for a certain voice.
I don't know what you mean.
Don't tell you right now. Do you get out, Egyptian John Stewart? We do not want you in Egypt anymore.
Jimmy John Stewart?
Yeah, that was the... he got in trouble. I mean, the government, like, they wanted to take him into custody and all kinds of stuff.
Right, he's living in exile for a little while.
Just for telling some jokes.
That's all.
Right.
They don't really take their First Amendment seriously over there. I don't think they have it.
Yeah. I think that's going to happen to me before this is all said and done.
You'll be living in exile?
Yes.
You and Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
I'm going to have to... But me and the real John Stewart are going to be sharing a potato in a gulag before this is all said and done.
Could happen. Very possible.
Anyway. And then everybody else got a pair of tickets to Avenue Q, now playing at the Mercury Theater, Chicago, the Modern Laugh Out Loud puppet comedy. Which, if you'd like to go see, 773-325-1700 or mercurytheaterchicago.com.
Nice. Looks
and,
like fun.
Yes. All right. Okay. I couldn't be more sorry, Scott, for you than I am right now.
I feel pretty defeated. You know, I came here first time. I thought I had some, like, beginner's luck.
Uh-huh. Right.
Get the
you
nerves
did your research,
out of my system.
You kind of, yeah. You prepared.
Yeah. I tried to read.
Yeah. No, don't do that.
Bad. You got to just go with your gut.
Yeah, you got it right, because what could possibly go wrong? All right. Thank you very much for being here. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it. Good to see you.
Judy Pilak, she's standing by in the W. Actually, it's not Judy standing by. It's going to be Andrea standing by.